If you own a home and are not using the sun to offset your energy bills or provide a backup power source during a blackout, it's time to do what I did and contact Devlin Solar. Devlin Solar is bringing affordable green energy to New England by using the latest solar technology to provide efficient energy solutions. To see if your home qualifies for solar, call 800-818-5641 or visit devlinsolar.com. They put a system in my home and it's great. So do what I did, reduce or eliminate your energy bills and power your home through a blackout with Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. Financing is available through Sunnova. Don't wait. Call 800-818-5641 today.
B-Pod Studios.
And now.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bill, despite the recent struggles in the last month, does it give your group added confidence knowing that they did go to this spot and win a game there not too long ago?
Yeah, I don't think we lack confidence.
Yes, Bill Belichick says they don't lack confidence, but do we lack confidence in them? That is the question as we begin and commence a Big Boy Tuesday. That means Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal will be joining us shortly. Maz Murray, come to us from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Anthony, how you doing, pal?
I'm well, thank you. Yourself?
I'm just peachy. Thank you so much. Again, Big Boy Tuesdays are brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. Greg, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. What's your confidence level on this team?
Not very high at all. Look, they could put it all together in Buffalo next week. They could go on Saturday night. They could all of a sudden come together and play the best game they had this season and pull out a victory. But after watching them over the last month and what they basically devolved into in all three phases of the game, I have very little confidence that they're going to do it. I think it's more likely that they go to Buffalo and get wiped off the field. Because the way they have fallen behind, the undisciplined nature that they have played on defense, you do that again against Josh Allen, he's going to go for 500 yards. Forget about the 300 that he had last time. And offensively, Mac Jones is getting worse by the week. He's regressing. It looks like he can't get to the offseason soon enough to sort of regroup. He's done fine so far, but this is now going to be 18 games in about 19 weeks. Plus preseason, you're talking, that's 21 and 22 weeks. That's a lot for a rookie to handle. And it looks like he's about burnt out, in my opinion, on this season and needs to get to the offseason. And then special teams wise, I don't know, Jake Bailey keeps kicking touchbacks, stupid penalties, missed extra points. I don't know. I don't know how anybody has confidence in this team. I mean, could they do it? Sure. From what they've shown in the last month, they have little chance to do anything on Saturday night.
What's going on, Bedard? How'd this happen?
I don't know how it happened. I could just tell you what's on film with this team. And probably the thing that I'm most concerned and disappointed in is the lack of cohesiveness that this defense has played with over the last month. And specifically Matthew Judon, who has basically gone missing since the bye week. I don't know if something happened to him in the bye week. I don't know if there's something personal going on with him. I don't know what it is. I could just tell you the Matthew Judon that we saw after week one, because from over a span of 12 games after week one, I'm pretty sure he had 12 and a half sacks in 12 games. Since then, he has zero sacks in the last four games. He has zero sacks. Pressure wise, he had 30 in the six games during the seven-game winning streak. He had 30 pressures. In the last four games, he has four total pressures. He has completely just gone missing. And the worst part about it, he's playing undisciplined, and it looks like he's playing for himself. Like, you know, for example, the third and eight play. I mean, people want to cry about the holding. Oh, he got held. But first of all, he didn't really get held. He wasn't obstructed from going to the quarterback. He maybe got slowed up a little bit. But second of all, where the hell is he going? Why is he running behind the quarterback there in that situation? It's the same crap he pulled against Josh Allen and the Bills here. And Josh Allen's able to run wherever he wants to go. There was a third and five play, a play that nobody's really talked about in the second quarter, which was just, if you wanted to put it on a poster for how pathetic this defense has been down the stretch, third and five, New England 37 with 14:20 left in the second quarter, early in the second quarter. Johnson goes for 10 yards. The Dolphins did a simple shift. Matthew Judon ran outside with the guy in motion, which he's supposed to do to a point. Then he just turned his back. No one got into his gap. Easily picked up 10 yards. Judon didn't even care to even turn around to look if they ran the ball. He didn't care. He just carried through and tackled the guy for the ground, just like he did with Dawson Knox in Buffalo. You watch some of these plays and you're like, what the hell is Matthew Judon doing? And so you put that together. Other guys see that. They're soft inside. They can't stop anything inside. To me, the defense looks broken, that they cannot get on the same page. They don't trust each other. They don't trust each other in the rush. They don't trust each other in the coverage. It's all a big mess on defense. And to me, that's the biggest disappointment in the last month.
So, Greg, the part that I find stunning is it feels like this went from all to nothing overnight. Like it all happened in the bat of an eye. Is there any real way to explain that? Like what? How did that switch get flipped?
Maz, I'm not sure, but you're right. I mean, during the 7-game winning streak, I mean, you guys even heard me. Like, you know, there were times, especially like the Browns game. Like when I watch good Patriots film, like I'm in a good mood. Like I'm happy. You know, I come in on Tuesday.
It's like porn for you.
Exactly. I'm a happy guy. And they were really clicking on all cylinders, especially on defense. I mean, we've seen versions of this defense, much less talented versions, like the 2011 Patriots. Just god-awful talent on defense. But those guys all did their job and just did their roles, and they almost won a Super Bowl that way. This defense has 10 times more talent, and then all of a sudden, since the bye week, and I don't know what the deal is. I don't know. I can't even speculate because I haven't heard anything. But all I can tell you is that when I go through my grading and I'm watching the film, you know, there will be, you know, gaps blown or edges blown and stuff like that. And it was during the winning streak, it was very, very minimal. They were executing at a high level. Since then, every game, my sheet is filled up with poor gap control, blown edge, guy running by the quarterback, this and that. They just look like they don't care for each other. They don't want to play for each other. They look like they can't wait for the season to get over quick enough. And I do not know what happened.
All right, folks, we're talking football with Bedard. You want to join in the party? 617-779-0985. Phone lines are open. Where does coaching come into this, Greg?
It has to be a huge factor. I mean, I look, I'm not one of these guys that will say, oh, they're responsible for getting the players up and they got to, you know, give them a rah-rah speech. And they've come out and, you know, they've trailed in these three losses. Collectively combined, they've fallen behind 57-7 in three games that they needed to have, or at least, you know, one or two of those games. And to start games like that, the coaches aren't responsible for them being professionals. Okay. I don't really care about that, but I thought the way that they came out early, the J.C. Jackson simple blown coverage on the opening Dolphins drive. I mean, that's just remedial defensive back 101. It wasn't anything special. The way they played that, he's peeking in the backfield, doesn't even see Jaylen Waddle wide open for a touchdown. Mac Jones comes out on his first pass play. Xavien Howard is in bail technique at the line of scrimmage. The Dolphins are showing that they're probably going to be in cover two. It doesn't look very exotic that they're going to really trick Mac Jones. He doesn't read the cornerback, you know, and throw over the top to Nelson Agholor. Instead, he does throw underneath Jacoby Myers, which is fine, but then he puts the ball in the wrong place. Like, I don't know. Part of me wants to say these guys don't look prepared. I know those coaches are working. I know they're doing these jobs. But whatever it is, I don't think they're after their ass enough during the week. These guys just look too comfortable to me. They look like they've been resting on their laurels. I don't know what it is. Some of it's on the players. A lot of it's on the players. Some of it's on the coaches. It just, it's been a complete debacle this last month of the season.
How'd you feel about the fourth and inches in the second quarter?
Hated it. Hated all of it. I have been told that the plan was to try to draw them off sides, and then Belichick was going to call timeout, and they were going to go for it. Belichick is near the official right on the sideline, so maybe he was there to call timeout. I don't know. That explanation seems a bit dubious to me. So Bill Belichick, with a minute left, is going to use his final timeout trying to draw somebody off sides, leave himself with none for the final field goal. I mean, even though they still had plenty of time, I don't know. That just seems odd. He's the type of guy that keeps the last timeout in his back pocket until needed. I hated it. I hated it for a bunch of different reasons. Number one, they're a good third and fourth down and short team. Just go for it. You know, what are you losing there? Okay. Say the worst case scenario happens. You're trailing 17-7. The worst case scenario is at midfield, you turn it over to Tua and the Dolphins. The Dolphins are scared crapless of Tua at this point. They don't want him to do anything. He gets the ball back there. He throws two balls off the Patriots that they could have intercepted. They're scared of him. They're not going to score a touchdown. At the worst, you give up a field goal. You're trailing 20-7. So you've gone from 10 points to 13 points. What's the big deal? Still two scores. What have you really surrendered there? You're getting the ball back to start the second half. There's much more to gain by going for it, getting a field goal, coming out after halftime, scoring, and now it's a new ball game. It's basically 0-0. Much more to gain than lose in that scenario. And then the pathetic play that they ran, to me, it was up there with that Colts fake punt. It was dumb. I mean, they had the whole measurement timeout to figure out what they're going to do. To me, it smells like a Matt Patricia, like up in the booth. Hey, we got this. Let's trick them. Let's do this. First of all, Hunter Henry could have been called for illegal procedure, false start. He started edging toward the line when he went in motion. And then Mac Jones to bob his head. Just go for it. Like, what are you scared of? Are you trying to be a good team? What do you have to lose? The fifth or the sixth seed? Who cares? Show some confidence, show some balls, go for it, go score, come out at the halftime, gain some confidence, and then go on a streak and feel good about yourself in the second half. Stop playing scared and actually play football.
Hey, folks, you hear it right there. Jim, hold that thought, all right? The big fella's agitated. Let's take care of our sponsors. Come back, give me your thought, give me yours out there, and we're off and running.
Hey, it's Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. It's January, the time of year we're bombarded with weight loss commercials. Gyms, exercise equipment, diet plans, and full-service programs like Awaken 180 Weight Loss. No matter who's advertising, it's good to see so many people taking the steps to get healthy. Awaken 180 won't discredit alternative methods for weight loss. If other programs have you feeling full, energized, and has a plan for keeping the weight off, feel proud. If you haven't selected a program yet, I suggest doing what I did and check out Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Set up a consultation, ask questions, and have enough information to decide if it's right for you. To answer a few questions now, yes, it's easy. No, the gym isn't required. And yes, Awaken 180 provides free support for life after you lose the weight. I've now lost 60 pounds, and each week I'm getting closer to my goal thanks to Awaken 180. 7 locations. I go to the newest in Auburn. Book your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Oh, yeah, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, 3 out of the last 4 games, you talked about execution as being, you know, problematic. Obviously, the one game, execution was almost perfect. But is that, you know, concerning late in the season? Do you feel that's, you know, correctable when the team is struggling in that area this late?
We do enough good things to be competitive. We just need to be more consistent.
Thanks.
All right, before I go to your phones, Murray, what were you just about to say before I so brutally interrupted?
Well, I mean, Greg is clearly fired up. He sounded personally offended after watching this game's film. But, you know, something else, you know, Lawrence Guy, who you've long been a defender of, and rightfully so, I think he's good up front, but making a mistake like he did lining up over the long snapper, Greg, like why, and it's not just this game, this year, why such a lack of attention to detail? Is it too many Bobos on staff? Is it Bill downshifting in certain areas? So that's why there's a lack of attention to detail, because This has happened all year long, not just in this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, as opposed to the Brandon King penalty, to me, this looked like sort of like a called play, like that they wanted to shift, and maybe Guy did a little bit too late. They wanted to try to get the Dolphins spooked. I don't know. I just know, you know, it's hard to tell without the whole picture, you know, including the last game at Buffalo. But to me at this point, it seems like, I don't know, it just seems like a really loose ship. It just seems like a different Patriots team. And what's interesting about it is that you could understand that at the beginning of the year, if you said this game, this team would be like any other Patriots team, you say, okay, I understand why. Because they added a bunch of free agents in the offseason. They have a rookie quarterback, all that stuff. But they look like they were becoming Patriots in a lot of those games there during the 7-game winning streak. And, you know, maybe they were just front runners. You know, I don't know. But to basically implode here in the last month, I did not see this coming. I don't understand the reasons. Everybody has blame in it. It's not just the players. It's not just the coaches. You know, I just think everybody's to blame for it.
Maz, quickly, that cut you mentioned yesterday, the thing we just heard from Belichick about, you know, can you fix this execution this late in the season? He says, we do enough good things to be competitive, just we need to be more consistent. Why'd you break that out?
The line, we do enough good things to be competitive. Ooh, boy, what a low standard that is. Like, that's what struck me about the comment. And again, it doesn't sound as bad when you hear it. But yeah, you know, yeah, we do enough good things to be competitive. So that's the goal? Competitive? Like, competitive is...
No, but I...
No, no, and I don't mean... I wasn't, you know, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, Greg. I just mean the comment struck me as, so what, 9-8? 9-8's competitive. 9-8's what we're looking for? Like, 8-9? You know, and I'm picking at the comment because I thought it was unusual. You know...
No, I had no... Tony, your criticism is fine. I mean, I agree, because when I heard that, I was just like, you know, really? You know, we do enough to be competitive. But the fact of the matter is, Bill's exactly right. They executed a well enough level to be competitive. I don't think he's saying, like, you know, they're happy with that. I take that as, yeah, we do enough to be competitive, you know, come back and make some of these games interesting. But if these guys want to go anywhere, if these guys want to do anything, they got to execute at a much higher level. Otherwise, we might as well pack it up. Season's over.
Yeah, it was an indictment on his own team, Mike. Right? We do have to be competitive. Like, yeah, we're a C-plus team. That's what we are. It just struck me as an unusual comment.
All right, calls with Greg Bedard. Let's lead it off with Dan in Plymouth. You're up first with, again, Felger Maz and the big boy. Go ahead, Jeff. Or, I'm sorry, Dan.
Oh, hi there. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, you know, the guy's asking, where is the turning point? The turning point that I saw was the Colts game, and specifically the block punt. Once that happened, they never recovered. They never recovered. Now, I will say this, though. They have always been in the game in the fourth quarter the rest of the season. And the way this season is going, if all three wild card teams win this weekend, the Pats get a home game next week.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's worry about getting out of the first quarter, not being down 17-0 before you start talking about hosting a playoff game, Greg.
Yeah, by the way, that just reminds me. You know, because I even think we talked about it on this show. Everybody last week is like, oh, are the Bengals trying to draw the Patriots because they're sitting Burrow? And I was saying, you got your own stuff to worry about. And also, oh, how about that? Another 50 burger. We, the new 50 burger did wonders for the offense that looked great on Sunday. I mean, let's just deal with reality. This team hasn't played good football since when? Since Cleveland?
Well,
probably.
You know, the Buffalo game on Monday night.
That doesn't count. That wasn't a real football game. I mean, in a real football game where you actually have to pass and it's not set in 1930, probably the Browns game where they played probably wire to wire their best game. And people are worried about what other playoff teams are doing, or, you know, whether they can host a home game. This team, you know, let's start by actually beating a team that is in the playoffs, like a playoff contender or somebody like that, because it's been a long-ass time since they've done that.
Hakeem is in Malden. Hi, Hakeem.
Hey, how you got, fellas? Mav, remember when I called you early in the season and I said the Pats are a 3, they'll be 3-14?
I don't, but go ahead.
And 13? Well, that's what kind of team they are. They only beat people when they have their best players are not in the game or COVID. If you look at their losses, everybody had a full roster and they couldn't handle it. Against anybody else that has their full team going to the playoffs or even if we against the Bills, we don't have a chance. Our team, our defense is not there. Our quarterback only scores a touchdown a game.
Like, well, Hakeem, I think it's totally fair to go back over the balance of the season, full sample, and say who they beat, when did they beat them, what did the opponent look like, what's the quality of your wins, and I can't take any of that away. You beat Tennessee, the number one seed, but they were a mess. And, you know, you can play that game with a lot of teams, but it's fair. At the end of the year, it's true. I think they're – I'm not that impressed with their 10-7 record, frankly. I think it's just barely good enough, if even is at all.
Well, and Mike, look, the record is one thing, okay? So we all know what the record is and who they beat and who they didn't beat. How they play is another thing. And so I put as much emphasis, if not more, on how they look in these games versus what the outcome is. So, for example, the Indianapolis game, Indy finished 9-8. Indy's out. You went at Indianapolis and you puked on yourself. So Indianapolis is not a great team. As much as I liked Indy, let's just gauge it now on the having known what happened over the course of the full season. Indy's not a great team. You went in there and got spanked. So, like, what is the explanation for that one? You know,
Tony, how about this? How about this dealing with, you know, Saturday night going to Buffalo? The Patriots have played two real away games this year. And even, you know, Sunday in Miami, there's a lot of Patriots fans at this game. But at the Colts and at the Dolphins were like, you know, the at Buffalo game doesn't count because of the weather. But the way Mac Jones, the way any of those guys played, who has any confidence? What can you show from this season that tells you this team is going to go on the road into Buffalo where Josh Allen can actually throw passes and you have to play real defense and all that stuff? What tells you from this season that they're going to go on the road and play well? That the quarterback is going to go on the road and play well? I haven't seen it yet.
Me neither.
Jeff in Boston, you're up next with Greg Bedard. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Oh, this is completely off topic, but I was just thinking about, you know, you have that roughing call when the punter scrambled and, you know, they went for the fake punt. And, you know, the defensive back, he could tell he wasn't really into the hit. And then the guy slides and he wanted to make him minimal contact and they throw a flag. They tend to do that all the time.
Yep, bad call, bad break for the Patriots. I also blame Brandon Bolden for flying in there like a kamikaze with his head down when the punter was giving himself up 4 yards in front of the first down. So, yep, bad call. Did that have anything to do with how the Patriots are playing in this last month?
No, and that Jalen Mills PI, I'm sorry to cut you off, Greg, too. I can't believe people are whining about that one. Turn around. That's defensive pass interference.
You know, the thing is,
I thought all the calls evened out in this game. I thought, all right, so the Bolden, you're absolutely right on Bolden. Like, what are you doing even diving, putting your head down at a punter where all you need to do is go to your knees and just keep him from sliding? I mean, he was going to be short of the first down marker. But so that extended the drive. Big freaking deal. You got a phantom PI call on Hunter Henry on third down that extended a drive for you. To me, that evens out. You're the Jalen Mills penalty is evened out by the Byron Jones. It was the same play in the end zone. They called them both the same way. Like, what are you crying about? I mean, I did not. The officiating, is it good? No. Is it good across the league? No. But it wasn't unfair to you in this game, that's for sure.
Mike, if that kind of play puts them under, then the real issue is that they're spineless. They're spineless. And that is what the concern is that if the littlest thing goes wrong, they start to implode. That's what you should be worried about.
Ryan and Malden, you're up next. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going? So, I like to talk about the game coming up, specifically the weather. And we all know that Mac Jones has not played good in the elements. And I'm assuming it's going to be a little cold, a little bit windy. And
yeah, a little bit. Let me just stop you. It's going to be freezing cold, but not windy. No snow, no real wind to speak of, just freezing cold. Discuss.
I think anything that – I'm sorry, Greg, you go first.
I was just going to say, look, I'm sure no quarterback stats are great in that kind of weather. I think I saw some stuff in passing about Josh Allen and games under 30 degrees. I don't really care. He's bigger, stronger, bigger arm, has a more talented football team. They're at home. Mac Jones hasn't proven anything to me as far as playing in the cold weather. I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying he's not proven. He doesn't have the ability to really tuck and run like Josh Allen does. So I think it's a big-time advantage for the Bills.
So I think any sort of cold, anything that mitigates the game and slows it down, whether it's temperature or anything else, helps out the Patriots. But did Jones... Was he wearing the same glove in the Jacksonville game that he wore this past week? Did you see the glove he had in his hand in Miami? This thing looked like some sort of space contraption, the glove he had in his hand. I'm not joking. Like, this thing's becoming more and more elaborate every week. Murray, I don't know if you're a Marvel fan, but he looked like Thanos wearing the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. Like, what the hell is that thing? So if you got to wear that in Miami, what are you going to be wearing in Buffalo when it's 10 degrees out?
Three up, three down with the big boy right after Big Jim Murray gets you updated.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Miller Lite, an official partner of the Boston Celtics, would like to say cheers to 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball, to 17 banners, to the players, coaches, and staff from yesterday and today. And, of course, cheers to Celtics fans everywhere. So raise the original light beer to this storied franchise and cheers to another 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball. From your friends at Miller Lite, it's game time, it's Miller time.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time, throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw.
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. And then the Cannons go. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, it's now... Time for Three Up, Three Down with Greg Bedard. It's presented by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Enjoy the game with a triple distilled, triple cask matured, and triple blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Game time is Tully time. Please drink responsibly. The three stars, three studs, three duds from Sunday's loss in Miami. Who's your number one star for the Patriots, Greg?
Brandon Bolden. I thought he was effective running the ball. You know, catching the ball, two touchdowns. I thought Bolden was really good.
I went Hunter Henry. I thought Henry was terrific in this game. They had very few reliable players on the field. Henry was one of them. I thought one of his better games as a Patriot.
Number two, Gregory.
I went with Jacoby Myers over Hunter Henry just because I thought Henry was asked to run block in this game a lot. I don't know if Jonnu Smith is injured or he's just being written out of the game plan. But Hunter Henry really struggled blocking in the running game. So I went with Jacoby Myers as number two. He's probably the most reliable guy they have on this team. And Mac Jones always looks for him when he needs a play. And Sunday wasn't any different.
I also went Myers second. I thought Myers was good in this game, too. They had very few reliable guys, particularly really on the field at all. But on that side of the ball in particular. And so I did. I also went with Myers.
Three.
Ted Karras, clean sheet, did a nice job on the interior.
Okay, so the blotch snap was all Mac Jones?
Yep, on Mac. Snap looked fine to me. But I don't know. I mean, and Mac took responsibility, so I don't really have anything to argue with.
Bolden was my third guy. Greg already talked about him. He was good.
Three down. Let's get to the good stuff. Who's your number one dud in this game, Greg?
Mac Jones. Just you can't start the game with a pick six and fumble at the opponent's 22-yard line. It can't happen. He looks like he's regressing. He's getting progressively worse. He looks more flustered by the week, including, you know, some mini tantrums in this game. It's not a good look. He's got to pull it together. I didn't think he was good. He made some throws at the end of the game when Miami backed off and was playing softer zone coverage. But in the balance of the game, he's not executing well enough to be competitive. Not well enough to win.
All Greg, right, big boy. Now we're talking.
So hold on one second, Maz. Are you starting to worry, big picture, Greg?
About Mac?
Yes.
No. No, I'm just fine with him. I'm still in the same place I've been probably since training camp. I think he's the next guy. I don't know he's the next guy. I think he's made substantial progress this year. I just think that it's been too much at this point. Like he's done well enough, and this is part of the way, you know, the way he's finished the season was part of the reason why some of us were arguing, all right, what's the harm in starting the season with Cam Newton? You know, give Mac Jones a little bit time to wait. You know, maybe he makes through the season a little bit better physically. If you do that, I just think this has been a lot. You know, 21 games in 22 weeks plus a quarterback competition, that's a lot of mental stress for a young player. And so I'm not going to indict him on the last month. It doesn't dissuade me from who he might become. I just think it's been a lot this season.
See, I also had Mac Jones first because I wasn't sure that the big boy would do it. It makes me want to lift up his shirt and give him a little raspberry on his belly.
Oh, there we go. So he did it all right. Who's number two there, Greg?
Matthew Judon has become a complete non-factor, makes way too much money. I don't know if he's trying to make sacks to get contract incentives or be first-team All-Pro instead of second-team All-Pro, but he has, since the bye, he has been a completely different player, and oftentimes, in the biggest moment, he is a detriment to this defense and is leaving his teammates out to dry.
Lawrence Guy, they got mauled in the Rudd game, and then that play on special teams, I'm sorry, and Greg, I expect you to answer for him.
Okay.
Doesn't sound like he's going to Mass.
Yeah,
number three. Who's your number three, Todd, Greg?
Dietrich Wise. The guy played a ton of snaps in this game. I don't remember one of them. So,
So, I went Christian Barmore third again. To me, he feels like he gets handled in the run game. But I would also like to give you an honorable mention because it was a great game to pick a lot of duds. Nelson Agholor. Am I wrong to say he blows? Seriously, like, he's been a bust. What contribution has he made to them this year? What? Hello?
I don't know.
Okay, again, Greg has no answers for you on that one. Well, that's your three up, three down, all right? I promise. I know you're all lined up. We'll get right back to your phones. It's our long commercial-free segment, and it comes your way next.
If you own a home and are not using the sun to offset your energy bills or provide a backup power source during a blackout, it's time to do what I did and contact Devlin Solar. Devlin Solar is bringing affordable green energy to New England by using the latest solar technology to provide efficient energy solutions. To see if your home qualifies for solar, call 800-818-5641 or visit devlinsolar.com. They put a system in my home and it's great. So do what I did, reduce or eliminate your energy bills and power your home through a blackout with Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. Financing is available through Sunnova. Don't wait. Call 800-818-5641 today.
Well,
Felger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back to the left of Tagovailoa. He takes the snap. He drops back. Pocket squeezing down.
No.
Tagovailoa starts to escape. He runs past the 45. Across midfield. Chow. He's got a first down. Tagovailoa for the second time able to escape and run. Straight
time out.
I think Jowan hit Barmore. Instead of hitting Tua, he hit Barmore.
And now the Pats have to spend the timeout with 1:48 to go.
Those are the reasons you see him inactive, usually, week to week. I mean, there's your chance. You know he's running. Come up and make the stop. He goes right by you.
So there's Zoe. He blames Juwan Williams. Greg Bedard, that was the... Obviously, the 3rd-and-8 scramble by Tua to seal the game. Who do you blame on that play?
Matthew Judon. Absolutely. 100%. He ran by the quarterback. I think it was, I think Beadle and Zoe have played this clip of Kyle Van Noy was on Chris Long's show earlier in the year and on his podcast. And Chris Long asked him about, he basically said, like, How does Judon get away with running 10 feet behind the quarterback? Like, how does he get away with that? And Van Noy basically laughed and said no comment. It's not so funny anymore when he runs behind Tua. All he has to do is close down, have a controlled rush there, and Tua gets completely squeezed in the pocket, probably throws the ball away, they get the ball back. Instead, Judon goes running by Tua to his sidesteps, goes right where Judon was, and runs for a first down. It's the same stuff that went on in Buffalo, where Josh Allen was able to do whatever he wanted to do, whether it was running or throwing the ball. It's been a constant. It's not just him. It's other guys up front also. But to me, I see a defense from the front to the back that lacks cohesion, that lacks trust, and that's no way to face some of the teams that they faced in the last month of the season.
All right, back to your phones with Greg Bedard. Mal is in West Hartford. Go ahead, Mal.
Thanks, guys. I have two things, and then I'm going to hang up. Number one, on Saturday night, if the Pats win the toss, can they please not defer? And two, I really want to know what skills Matt Patricia brings to this club. That's it, guys.
Okay, thank you so much. You know, it's amazing how many calls we get on this. Let me just follow it up quickly. Bruce in Florida, what's your take?
Hello?
Yes, Bruce, you're up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, just like the last caller. My number one dud would have been Bill Belichick. He deferred the after winning the coin toss, and what does he do? He puts that defense out there, and then the team comes down and scores a touchdown and eats up half the clock in the first quarter.
Okay, Bruce, I'm just going to stop you there. Thanks for the call. The coin toss, Greg. We get a lot of feels like there's a lot of coin toss chatter out there. How do you feel about that?
Well, if Bill's not going to play to it and try to play aggressively to the hairpin turn like he did on Sunday.
Thank you.
I don't understand the point of deferring. I heard a stat going into this game that the Patriots were second to only the Chiefs in opening drive points this year on offense. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's a stat that I heard from somebody. So if those things are true, then go ahead, take the ball. I don't care. I mean, I don't have any great confidence in the offense, but at least I have more confidence in the offensive line and the running game that they're going to, you know, get something going. Matt can hit a couple checkdowns and get the team feeling good about itself instead of the defense coming out and just getting run over again. I mean, the Dolphins' drive on Sunday was almost a carbon copy of the first game, and so was the end. The Dolphins in the first game took the ball, went right down the field and scored easily, did it again here. And then at the end of the game, week one, the Patriots had a chance for a stop after the Damien Harris touchdown. Don't get a stop again. Tua executes on third and long against this defense. And then the same thing on Sunday. It's just, it's not good enough.
Mike, they don't have the offense to control the middle of the game like they used to.
Right.
They don't have that kind of offense anymore, and they don't have that kind of quarterback anymore. So look, the whole, you know, double score in the middle of the game and deferring and getting consecutive possessions later in the game or in the middle of the game, all I love the strategy in general. I just don't think that this is the team for it. Meanwhile, the other guys are starting with the ball and they're behind 14-0 every week.
Yeah. Well, no, but the point is if you play for the hairpin turn, you got to go for it on 4th and inches in the second quarter.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. That was Greg's first point, and I think that one's spot on. Brian in Abington. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, first of all, forget the coin toss. It's stupid. Just play the damn game and win. But anyways, I'm so sick of the sky is falling thing with Mac Jones here, because honestly, it's exacerbated by the fact of what Tom's doing. Tom won a title last year, and now Tom's going to potentially go and contend for another one this year. And you know what? If Tom retired in New England and we moved on to Mac Jones after that, everybody would look at this in a completely different light. But it's because of what Tom's doing. It's not fair to judge the kid off that. And I get it. It is what it is. It is how it is right now. If my aunt had a you-know-what, she'd be my uncle. But it's just not fair.
Okay, so you raised some fair points in there. I think Brady's success ups the ante on everybody here. And that's just the way it is. But the sky is falling. I think that's... Maz, what is Mac Jones in his last three games or four games? What did you give us, yesterday? Do you have the stats off the top of your head? What's he done in the last month?
Yeah, he's got 6 touchdown passes, 5 interceptions. His rating is under 80. It's in the 70s. And his completion percentage is right around 60%.
Okay.
Wait, Maz. Let me take it one step further.
Yeah, go.
one step further in the games that mattered, the Colts, the Bills, the Dolphins, Mac is completing 56% of his passes. He said thrown three touchdowns, five interceptions, had a fumble. His rating is 66. That's good, just facts.
Good job. Take out the Jaguars game because it barely counts. So, caller, is that the sky is falling? Is that overreacting? Or is that us holding Mac Jones to a professional standard? You know, it's you've played yourself into a good playoff position. They were the number one seed going into the second half of this month. And I'm sorry, at that point, I'm not going to sit there and go, well, he's a rookie, really doesn't matter what happens at this point, and we're just putting pressure on him because of Brady. Like, no, you've got a season to play there, and he's not measured up. He just hasn't. He hasn't measured up down the stretch. Who knows what that
means? I'm pretty sure we said the same things about Cam Newton last year, and we were talking about whether he should be replaced by the backup and asking Bill about those things. You know, not that I'm not comparing that because Mac's been playing fine. You know, he hasn't played as well in the biggest games. That's fine, but we're just being consistent. I mean, he's put up a 66 rating in games that the Patriots needed to win. He's helped compound that the Patriots have gotten off to combined in those three games. They've trailed 57-7 combined in those games. And so I think we're just being fair. No one's saying that Mac, because of what's happened, or at least I'm not saying that this is some sort of indictment on his future. This is just where he's at this point, and it has to do with the whole team. The whole team has not been good enough.
Wayne in Yarmouth. Go ahead, Wayne.
You guys are all about accountability, and you include Belichick. And I was just wondering, after that Dallas situation, we all believed he had taken over the defense, and things got better. But now, over these last four or five games, it's gone south. Has he just delegated it back to this crack defensive coaching staff, or what do you think?
Yeah, no, it's a fair thing to ask. What happened to Bill taking over the defense, and what's happened to it since?
I was just looking. Do you guys remember when Jonathan Jones was injured?
It was early.
Was it early?
Yes.
Okay. I think it was it was after the trade deadline because I think it was they traded Gilmore, so it must have been early November or something like that. I just wanted to see where that fell in regards to it because I think a lot of things. So the Dallas game was mid October.
October 25th is when he had surgery.
October 25th. So that was during the 7-game winning streak.
The Dallas game was the last game he played.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question, but all I can say is that it's possible that at the bye week, Bill's like, all right, well, we got the ship righted on defense. You know, you guys can take back over. But to me, it looks like, you know, nothing's working for them. And to me, a lot of it is just the discipline on this team. I just think they're not doing their job. All 11 guys on consistent snaps, and that's been an issue more than, say, the play calls. I mean, I haven't had an issue with a singular play call since, like, 3rd and 25 against Dallas.
Yeah, I draw the line at the bye. They came out of the bye in a bad little space, and it snowballed. And that's what I think has happened. Here's an update from Big Jim Murray. 90 seconds, no commercials, then more with the big boy.
The safety of your loved ones has never been more important. That's why Safety Insurance offers the Drive with Safety app, which gives you the ability to monitor driving habits that will help improve the performance of every driver in the family. Plus, save 5% on your auto policy. Ask an independent agent about Safety Insurance. We'll help you manage life's storms.